bits and pieces that you need. So really interestingly, when I put the roster together, I completely forgot that we were having an AGM, and so didn't put it in the winter before I kind of, and then I had to reshuffle, and then I had to, shuffle people around and move myself to a place, not realising when I did that, that Katie's dance rehearsals and concerts were all going to fall in the same week, and that we would be writing reports. And interestingly, the message in Hebrews 4 is all about, as you would know, rest. So I've come into what would be one of my busiest times of the year to speak about rest, which I kind of got. I think God has a very good sense of humour. And and I've had to learn to dig a bit deeper into getting that rest from him rather than allowing other things to overtake me because I was tired or stressed or couldn't think straight, all those things that wanted to start to happen at that time. So let's turn to Hebrews chapter 4. And actually, Hebrews 4 is kind of a repeat of Hebrews 3. A lot of the things that are said in Hebrews 3 is actually repeated. So obviously, I don't know about you, but sometimes I need to hear something more than once before I really get it. And usually when something's repeated in Scripture, it increases its importance of that. So I'm just going to read through it, and you can follow through. I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible, but I'm sure we've all got different ones. So Hebrews chapter 4, mine's entitled The Believer's Rest. Therefore, let us fear lest while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you should seem to have come short of it. For indeed, we have good news preached to us. We have had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them because it was not united by faith in those who heard. For we who have believed entered that rest, just as he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he has thus said somewhere concerning the seventh day, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this passage, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter because of disobedience. He again fixes a certain day, today, saying through David after so long a time, just as he had been said before, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua has given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. There remains therefore a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall through following the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things, as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. There's a lot packed into that chapter, but I just really felt there was one thing that God really wanted us to focus on, and that was that issue of rest. We live in a very fast-paced world, information coming at us like never before from all sorts of places and all sorts of ways. And that can be just tiring, just that one thing, let alone all the other things that are happening here in our own lives, in our families, in Canberra, in Australia, and in the world at this time. And yet God wants to remind us of that word today. Keeping, God is wanting us to remember, he wanting to keep this instruction very present. That's why he's used the present tense. Today, if you. He wants us to be listening today to what he has to say. Not just writing it off, oh, that was for then, but it's for now, for us, me, for you, today. What he's going to say today is for you and for me. And it talks about, as a bit of an overview, there's talks about the people, the Hebrew people in the Old Testament were disobedient and they were full of unbelief and they denied him. But God wants us to be in rest in him. That the Hebrews have an understanding of the Old Testament scriptures and those things that were quoted, they would know very well. Unlike me, who had to look them all up, find where they were and look for myself. And I started to think about, why does belief lead to rest? And why does unbelief lead to no rest? And what kind of rest is being talked about here? I don't believe it's the kind you do when you go on your bed. I don't believe it's that kind of rest, although I'm sure that when you are at rest in God, that those all things come back into the right order. If you've been like me, not one who's rested very well over her life, not very good at sleeping sometimes, rest is very inviting, that kind of rest. But that's not what I believe that's not what God wants to speak to about us today. But he talks about, therefore, let us fear that we do not fall short, that we make sure that we are walking by faith, by putting our belief and faith in anything or anyone other than God is what fear is. Because it does not lead us to eternity. It leads us to a different place. And the big thing that came across to me was that all-important obedience. How important it is that we obey what God is asking us to do and asking us to be. In the New Living Translation, verse 2 says this, but it did them no good because they did not share the faith with those who listened. So in order to obey, you have to hear what's being said so that you can then carry it out. I have this problem in my classroom all the time, children not listening. And then they come up, many of them will come up to me and say, what do I need to do? And I said, this is the fifth time I've repeated this in the last 5 minutes. And sometimes we can be that like that with God. You know, God will say something, but we really don't listen. There's a difference between just hearing something and listening. Because listening implies that you're going to do something with it. You're listening to learn from something or gather information that's important so that you can go and do something. And we have been called to do good works, and he wants us to walk in them, and that's part of that rest, that we would walk in that. And then again in the New Living Translation it says in verse 3, for only we who believe can enter that rest. So it's important that we continue to believe God, that we don't step out of that belief. We don't let fear and other things take us away from what God has called us to do. I know I find this quite challenging, not to give in to things when I'm stressed and not walk in the way that God wants me to be walking and not trusting him. And this week he's really backed me into a corner with so much in my week that I had to literally trust him. I didn't know when I was going to get time to even write this sermon because it was just full on. So he was faithful to wake me early so that I could have time, and which was awesome. You know, God is so faithful to us when we trust him that we would be able to do what he's called us to do. It mentions in this section about in Genesis 2, verses 2 and 3, on the seventh day, God completed his work which he has done, and he rested on that seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed and sanctified it, because in it he had rested from all his work which God had created and made. And then in Exodus 20 verse 8 it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, because God had blessed it, therefore it was holy. I just added that last bit myself, the first bit was scripture. And the other scripture that really stuck out to me was the one I started with in Matthew 11. So if we can turn to that one now too, please. And I'm going to read it again. It says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my load is light." If you were a farmer, you would, and especially farmer from some time ago, maybe not that long ago, but some time ago, that you would understand about the whole concept of yokes and how important that is to get the right fit on a yoke. Because if you don't get the right fit on a yoke, you actually get the ox actually go, or whoever's wearing them, actually go just around in circles. If it's too big, one animal is too big and the other's really small, or one's taller, one's shorter, then they just end up circling. And God hasn't called us to circle. He's called us to walk forward, to plough ground through his help and plant seed, which is what they were designed to do. They were designed to plough a field to make room so that seed could be planted, so crops could grow and the family could be fed. And that's what God wants us to be doing. But who does he want us to be yoked with? That's right, with Jesus. He's the perfect fit for us in that yoke. And it says here in that scripture that he's gentle and he's humble of heart, and that we can learn from him. And that's another thing that I learned in my little bit of studying about yokes, is that they don't just put any oxes together. They usually get an experienced ox and a young one and put them together so that that young one can learn how to be the experienced one. And, you know, that's what Jesus is for us. He's the experienced one. He's been a human like us. He's walked life, travelled it much, much, much better than any of us have or will. But he knows what it's like to walk forward and as a person. And so he is there with us to walk with us in every circumstance that we find ourselves, because the Bible doesn't contain every situation you're going to find in life. I don't think I can find anywhere that talks about the internet and things that we have today. But he is still here, and he is still here to guide us and lead us, that if we're evenly yoked with him, because he's our right fit, that we can walk forward and do the things that he's called us to do. And by doing that, by being obedient to his leading, then his little nudging, I'm sure that the ox probably made sounds to the other ox. Not in words we might say, go this way or go that way, or no, you're going too fast, slow down a bit, you're getting ahead of me, no, you're going dragging behind, keep up. Those sorts of things. And this is what God wants us to be listening for in his voice. You know, I think I've shared this before, where sometimes I'd feel God would just tell me to go for a walk somewhere, and he'd tell me to go, oh, go this way, now turn here, now go down there. And I knew that I was in obedience training. Felt like, you know, that little ox being told, go this way, go that way. No, because and there was a time in my life, and I know I've shared about it, when I was in Hungary and I had to negotiate through a huge city to do some important things and then get back to where I came from. And I had to know how to hear his voice, and he helped me to do that. It was quite an amazing thing, leading me back to a place we'd been before that I suddenly remembered. I knew the way. All these amazing things that he did because I was willing to listen to his voice. I don't always do that, though, but God wants us to be doing it more than less. The more we do it, the better we get at it. Practice makes permanence, is the correct saying. We'll never be perfect except in God. The more you walk a route, the more permanent it becomes. And in our brains are wired the same. And because Jesus is our great high priest, that one that we go to, and like us, he was made human, then he helps us through those difficult times. In Isaiah 40, verse 31, it says that those that hope in or wait for the Lord, which is what I believe rest is, the rest that he wants us to have is to hope, trust in him, for those that do that, they will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. Also, also in this chapter, we just flick back now to Hebrews 4. He goes on to talk about the choice that we have to enter that Sabbath rest. And that he knows, it's kind of scary but kind of neat at the same time, that God knows everything that we're thinking, saying and doing, every minute of every day. He already knows. So it makes it so much easier when you need to come to him to talk to him about something, because he already knows the situation. Not that we don't tell him about it, because he wants us to ask. It's for us more than it isn't for him. It's for us to verbalize and tell him about that, because he already knows. And so he wants us to come and share those deeper things with him when we're struggling, or when we're excited, or when things are just kind of chugging along as they're meant to. He wants to come in every circumstance, because he's right there with us, in that yoke with us. Sometimes we forget that Jesus is with us and we go off on our own tangent, but he wants us to be walking with him. And because he is the great high priest who's called to intercede for us before God, that he can easily do that because he's right there with us. So yoking. The thing that I really felt to finish with, I know this hasn't been a very long talk, but I just feel I'm going to finish on this last sort of point to do with the yoking. How far am I off track? You know, I try to walk in that way God wants me to walk, but there's times, you know, I don't do it right. I get cross with other drivers on the road. Like this morning, we nearly got run over by this hoon coming down the... in Corwell, coming down that very steep hill at great speed, and he wasn't going to stop. And if I hadn't seen him, we mightn't have been here today. You know, just those sorts of things that can test you. But God wants us to be trusting him with even those things. He wants to be in every part of our lives. And, you know, he wants us to be obedient to things that he's saying. Sometimes he might put his hand on my arm and say, I want you to do this, or go that way. And by doing that, it keeps me on track. And there were good examples in both the Old Testament and the New Testament of people who obeyed what God had to say. David was a man after God's heart. He sought to obey God. We know of the story that's told, or the narrative that's told in 1 Samuel 16 of Goliath and his defeat through David, trusting God. And 1 Samuel 17, that story continues on. And then his friendship with the king's son, Jonathan, even though the king was no longer wanting to have him around, that he and Jonathan had a special friendship that was to the end. And then there was Abraham, who was willing to walk a road of faith, including letting go of his own child, so that he could obey God. He chose righteousness over everything else. It came at great cost, I'm sure. I know those of us that are parents could only even begin to imagine what that would be like if God asked us to do something similar. There was Rahab, who helped the spies, and she was well rewarded in becoming part of the lineage of David. But then there was King Saul, who chose to disobey what he'd been told to do, and he couldn't wait, so he raced ahead of God and suffered the great consequences that came to him and the nation of Israel. It was David who couldn't wait because he wanted to marry a certain woman. And then in the New Testament, there was Ananias and Sapphira who chose to lie, and God dealt with them quite swiftly and severely. And there were, in the early apostles, there were many of them that chose to follow what God had to say, and that's why the gospel's around today, which we can be very grateful for. So God is grace, but also justice. God is love, but also righteousness. So what am I yoked to? Or who am I yoked to? Is it something that's pulling me around in circles in my walk with him? Or is it something that's leading me toward God or in his path? Am I working in tandem in that yoke with Jesus? Or am I chafing at the bit like I know I can get sometimes? Is whoever or whatever I'm yoked to, is it having an influence or a hold over me that prevents me from being able to do all that God's called me to do? Am I submitting to that, or am I submitting to God? Jesus wants us to be yoked to him and to no other. And when we do that, when we really do let go, and I know that we're all experienced Christians, when we really do let go, I know that we feel that peace that only God can give us. That when we truly choose to lean on and lean into him. He doesn't want us to be unequally yoked. He doesn't want us going around in circles. He wants us moving forward so that we can plough fields to sow seeds. So in verse 16 in chapter 4, let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. He wants us to call out to him today, now. This is not new. It was already been said, and it was already said in the Old Testament, in Psalms as well. Today God is interested in us. Every moment of every day, it's always right now. He doesn't want us to, as the Israelites did in the old times, harden our hearts, but be soft. I don't know if you've ever had accidentally left the butter on the table and the warmth. Well, that's where God wants us to be. Not the butter that's in the fridge that's hard to cut, the malleable stuff that's really easy to spread around. So I'm just going to break for a minute, and Katie's going to just come and share, as we come into communion, what Jesus means to her.
Right. Right up here. Thank you for the cross. Did it communion, and then thank you for the blood you shed for us. Did Jesus die for us? Amen.
Keeping it simple. If you'd like to come and get your emblems and just take them back to the table, I've got a little thing to do before we take them, if that's okay. So while before we take communion, I want us to just have a bit of a quiet time. You might know this of me already, I'm a response person. I like to respond to what God's saying to me, and I like to have an opportunity to either write it down or tell someone about it, to kind of cement what God is saying to me so I know that I'm going to follow it through. Because sometimes we can hear things, we can even think, oh yeah, I'm going to do that, and then the next thing comes along, distracts us, and nothing changes. So I believe God, I've put a little shape on your table. You can choose a colour or a white one. And just ask God what he wants to say to you about your heart right now. Where is your heart? I'm not saying he's going to say whatever he's going to say. Have a listen. We'll just take a few moments to do that and let him speak to us. So if we can just pause the tape, please, while we do this. So Deborah. I just love how God puts things together. All who are thirsty, all who are weak, come to the fountain. Dip your heart in the stream of life. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of his mercy as deep cries out to deep. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Just as you take your own communion this morning in your time and your response through what God has said to you, let's just give thanks to him. Father, we just want to thank you for your generous gift on the cross, that out of this world eternal gift. And thank you for the way that you are with us in each moment. Just affirm those things that you've spoken in our hearts as we continue to thank you for what you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. I just encourage you to share with someone that you feel comfortable with what God has spoken to you, just because, again, as I said, it helps us be accountable to the things that God has spoken and encourage us to obey them. I'm hoping that you will have a restful week this week as you trust God in all that you're doing. But before we finish, I've got one more offering to take up. Katie, would you like to go around and do that? Oh, and the gold coin donation. Thank you, Julie. Katie, up the back. And as rightly mentioned, if you are able to during this week to remember the Branch family, big undertaking they've got this week in preparing not only Sam getting married, but all the preparation and all those things that go in a wedding, particularly for Andrea, who would really appreciate your prayers throughout this week. I'd encourage you to do that. But let's just do a... Julie, would you like to... Okay. Would you like to pray? Amen. So go in God, which means you go in peace and all the things that he gives us. Come and join us for a cup of tea or coffee if you would like to, and let's share together. Thank you, everyone.